Chapter 13. Saw sent Jin on her first solo mission not long after that. She suspected this was mostly thanks to Staven's influence. But perhaps it was Saw's way of honoring her for her 15th birthday, an occasion that otherwise went unnoticed.
"We're dropping you on Haruz," he said. "That's one of the dark planets we've been watching."
Dark planets. Jin knew what that meant. 16 planets on Saw's list, each with communication blackouts and much higher protocols than the Empire usually placed on planets, that didn't seem that significant. Several of Saw's missions had been revolving around the so-called dark planets, and Saw was convinced that it had something to do with Jin's father and whatever it was he'd been researching. But he rarely talked to Jin about that those days, and he never mentioned his motivations to any of the others. Saw held out an image caster, and a young man with two long dark braids revolved in the light.
"This is Doran Bell," Saw said. "We think he was recruited by the Empire about a year ago."
Jin looked around the empty room.
"Who is this we?" she thought. "He's been working with Kybers," Saw continued in a softer voice, and Jin knew that she was hearing that only because she was close to Saw.
He wouldn't get so personal with the others in this cadre. When he continued, his voice was back to being full of authority and cold detachment.
"I've gotten word that he's going to be scouting the southern hemisphere of Haruz with only a small protection detail."
"What's my mission?" Jin asked, staring at the hollow of the man. Saw shot her a look. He reached back and pulled out a modified long-range blaster rifle fitted with a sniper scope and an additional power cell that would overcharge the plasma. Jin stared at it.
"Maya said you would be good for this," Saw said, doubt creeping into his voice.
Jin thought of the target practice she'd done with Maya, the careful aim from across the island. She glanced at the image of Doran Bell.
"What did he do?" Jin asked.
She meant,
"Why does he deserve to die?"
Saw didn't answer immediately, and when Jin looked into his eyes, she was a little terrified of what she saw there.
"Does it matter?" he asked in his soldier voice.
"Yes," Jin thought.
"No,"
Jin said. Saw nodded, happy with her answer.
"Steven will take you to the drop point," he said. And with that, Jin was dismissed.
Jin stopped by her room, preparing carefully, checking her weapons, packing a small satchel of essentials. She turned to face the door and caught her reflection in the smooth metal. She was surprised at the woman she saw there. Saw didn't like mirrors, and the sea outside was always too rocky to be reflective. And Jin rarely cared about her appearance. But she paused now, staring at herself. First, she saw her eyes. Her father used to say that she had stardust in her eyes. That's what made them such an unusual color. She could still hear his voice, his whiskers scratching her chin as he hugged her and whispered,
"I love you, Stardust."
Jin shook herself, dispelling the memory. She set her jaw, steeling her spine, letting her sorrow give her strength. And then she saw her mother in her reflection. Jin reached out, touching the smooth surface of the door, her fingertips pressing against the cold metal. That was the way her mother had stood. Tall, proud, determined. Jin spent so much of her life hoping she could be different from her father. Sometimes she forgot how much she wished she could be half as brave as her mother. She squared her shoulders. She would prove that she was. On the ship ride to Haruz, Staven went over additional details with Jin. He described the landscape, the timing, the drop point, and rendezvous point.
"We've set some other traps for him, and the work detail," he added, "but Saw likes having insurance."
Jin's fingers ran over the barrel of the long-range blaster.
It did not escape her notice when they pulled out of hyperspace that Staven was using forged ship clearance codes that Jin had made for Saw in her spare time. Staven dropped Jin off near a little canyon. "If they follow our intel," he said, "they'll be walking on a trail down there." He pointed over the edge of the cliff at the dusty canyon floor. "But if not, the other access point is that way." He pointed south at another trail cut into the small forest. From Jin's vantage point, she had cover and a clear view of both trails. "Either way," Staven concluded, "they'll likely end up there." He indicated a point about a kilometer away from Jin. She viewed it through her sniper scope. That was her target. Staven left, and she was alone. Saw had arranged for Jin to arrive on Haru's early, so she had hours to wait. Hours to wait with a blaster in her hand. "I can do this," she thought, and knew it to be true. She didn't let herself think of whether or not she wanted to. When the Imperial scouts finally came, long after the time she'd been expecting them, Jin was nearly asleep. She scrambled to attention. They came from the second trail, through the trees. Jin was glad of her position, of the way she was mostly hidden on the canyon ridge. She drew in a breath. The blaster was set up with a small tripod. She'd calculated the distance, the angles. She watched the dust cloud rise as the small transport unit pulled to a stop just outside of the area Staven had said they would be. Jin took a deep breath. The first time she was supposed to pull the trigger, it had been a scientist, one that reminded her of her father. And he'd been right in front of her. She could hear him, smell him. This was better. This was farther away, impersonal. Jin squared Doran Bell in her sights. He was younger than Jin had expected. He was smiling. Jin moved the scope down to Doran's chest, where she didn't have to see the easy curve of his lips, the light in his eyes. Jin focused on the gray of the Imperial uniform, the little black shield badge over Doran's heart. She looked over the scope. From that distance, they hardly looked like people at all. Jin angled her head down, pressing her eye into the scope. She charged the modified blaster, and the additional power cell hummed. Her finger felt the curve of the trigger. "It's just like target practice," she told herself, but her mind was screaming at her over and over. "It's not, it's not, it's not." She thought of Saw, of the disappointment on his face when she'd failed the detonator test. She squeezed the trigger. The blaster jumped in her hand, the overclocked power cell so hot that it left a scalding blister on her palm. She didn't notice that, though. She was distracted by the billow of smoke and dust that rose up from the area where, moments before, the Imperials had been standing. A booming echo rang across the land. "The traps," she muttered. Staven had told her that she was insurance, that there were traps laid where the Imperials were expected to be.
Something must have triggered them. She assumed they were landmines based on the explosion.
Jin forced herself to watch the cloud dissipate, to look for survivors, to prepare. When the dust and smoke cleared, she used her sniper scope to examine the carnage. She saw Doran Bell's body, broken, bleeding, and she squinted at his wounds, inspecting them. She was equally ashamed and relieved that it had been the landmines, not her blast, that had killed him.